Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The line between killer and hero is thinner than you think. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
There has been a new statement as of today, as of our recording, from Diddy's attorneys. They are now asking for the names of those who are accusing him, so they can essentially, they're arguing so they can prepare for effective trials. What do you think of that? I mean, a lot of people defile this stuff anonymously for protection because they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want their names out there. If they are the victim of these crimes, they shouldn't have to have their name out there if they are the victim. But the Diddy crew is saying, nope, we want to know the names. The judge has yet to decide on any of this. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd be scared. Yeah, I as a, you know, for the prosecutor, I wouldn't want those names out there either. I mean, and one of the reasons why, again, this is pure Robin Dreek's conjecture on this. You know, one of the reasons why the judge has denied bail is because of potential jury tampering issues. And so if the reason why they didn't want Diddy have bail is it wasn't necessarily fear of flight or risk of flight, but the jury tampering issue, the last thing you want to do is, or witness tampering, I should say, not jury tampering, the witness tampering issue, the last thing you want to do is let them know all the witnesses. So
yeah,
I would think the judge isn't going to rule on that. And also, if you want more people to be inspired to come forward, you have to allow them to feel safe in which to do so that there won't be reciprocity, because they still don't know. And like you said, the floodgates are opening. And not yet. What you have is you have a small crack in a dam and there's some water starting to trickle through it. The amount of water that gets through is going to determine the amount of erosion around the sides. They're going to see if it can be more volume coming through. Mm-hmm. But if there is a good defense attorney or person plugging up the holes as they're trickling through, the water's not going to get worse coming through.
True.
And so what those plugs are is feelings of unsafe presented by Diddy and the crew, because people still don't exactly know, I think, exactly the reach he has even behind bars. Mm-hmm. And who is on that network that can still submarine you, your career, your reputation. And also people that might be inspired to come forward to be a witness were probably doing things that they're going to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
And that's the other challenge here. When dealing with and working with people that, and we deal this all the time with children that are victimized by predators, is educating and informing and allowing a child or a victim to feel safe and not ashamed of their behavior and let them know and be embraced by the fact that they were victimized. There is no shame in being victimized. And so I think that's going to be part of this too, is how do you get that message out there that there's no shame because you were victimized? Because a lot of times people that have been victimized think it's their fault.
Sure.
I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have made that choice or decision. It's all my fault. And they're ashamed of those choices they made. But at the same time, no, you went there under good intentions and you were victimized while you were there.
I think it's going to be a difficult thing for a lot of people, especially well-known people, celebrities and such that participated in some of these things, because I think there is probably a lot of shame there if they look back on maybe either some of their younger days, some of their more inexperienced days, or some of the days where they were just flat out drugged at the party, because we see the allegations in that of possibly GHB being in some of the baby oil or some sort of drug, which would lower a person's inhibitions and their decision-making skills. If one was at one of these parties thinking, oh, this is going to be some sort of sex thing and I'm into that, if that's what they're into. But if they're assuming it was all legal on the up and up, maybe didn't know where these people came from or that they were trafficked. If they did participate, if they were drugged, if they were under the influence, that's going to be a big content or big point of shame for them to look back and go, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I mean, it's like if you look back on a younger day when you drank too much or something, you did something stupid, not saying rape, but I'm just saying, you know, we all have done dumb things. You have shame. And if something involved that, or not even rape, but just having consensual sex, but it turns out it ended up being with someone underage and you didn't know it, or it was a sex worker or something of that nature, there's going to be so much shame. And it's not so much just the shame that they don't want to harm their image and just the public perception of them, but I think it opens them up to lawsuits probably then from the sex workers, from whoever may have been there. And they don't want to open up themselves to that sort of liability, although at the same time, they may have also been a victim. I'm specifically speaking more so for some of the younger folks who are in the circle of Diddy. I was talking with Banfield the other night on News Nation. We were talking about this specifically. And I want to say this. There's been no accusations, no solid evidence, nothing about Justin Bieber being at any of these parties or that he was participating. But there's a lot of accusations that have floated out there. Let's just say theoretically he was at some of these parties. Incomplete theory. This is just conjecture. He was someone who was groomed by Diddy from the age of like 14 on up to think this was normal, this was life, and this is the guy you're looking up to as the leader in the industry, and he's bringing you into his parties, and you're drugged too, and you end up participating in some of the stuff. Again, just conjecture, not any evidence behind any of that. That to me looks like someone who's also been victimized by Diddy, but then also possibly, depending on what happened, could end up victimizing others. We see this quite often with abuse victims. Again, not saying that's what happened, but let's just, for example, say that that is something that happened, whether it be someone like a Bieber or somebody else who was young, impressionable, groomed, and then into that situation. That's a whole other dynamic.
Yeah, it's a very accurate dynamic in how these things work. I mean, this is how cults work. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have someone that indoctrinates you and gets you over that initial hurdle because you're groomed into thinking this is going to be normal behavior. And then once you do it once, and then it's all validated, that behavior is validated by the groupthink around you. So the next time you do it, it's no longer a big deal. And that just becomes part of what's normal behavior for them, even though it might be abhorrent behavior for the culture and society at large because of the destructive nature of the relationships and the behaviors. You know, the recent example of the John Doe that was talking about how, you know, he was excited to finally go to a white party.
Yeah.
And did, you know, the claim is that Diddy said, pull down your pants, and he is his private parts get cupped and held, yeah. You know, and he thought it was horrible, but the way that Diddy presented it was so normal. This is what we normally do. And so I guarantee you that after that first time like that, it became less of a shock if it was done again, and becomes normalized and accepted by the people around you. So then it becomes even then more tempting if someone tells you to now do that and go indoctrinate someone else, because you know how it's done. You're a part of this. And so again, your mindset, when you're surrounded by a lot of people that are saying this is normal behavior, become part of your norm until someone comes in and says, hey, which they all needed desperately, was a loving critic and say, this is not normal. This is not healthy, and this is destroying lives.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.